Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. I hope you're all doing well on this first day of May. And I'm really excited to be with all of you today. We've got another big call today. I know a lot of you really enjoyed the Befriend Your Fears process. And today I'm going to be teaching you another process. It's my Rewire Your Negative Thought Patterns process. So we're going to be going, you know, deeper. This is just another step into giving you tools to really help you and your clients when your clients get stuck in places that they just, you know, they need some deeper work in order to move forward with their goals. So we're going to start off today's call a little bit differently than we usually do. I want to start it off with a little bit of a grounding meditation. So I invite you to get comfortable wherever you are. Just put aside anything that you might be doing. Resist that impulse that most of us often have to multitask, turn away from the computer, and just make the next few moments really be time just for you. Let it be a practice time for you to focus your mind. Let it be time for you to be really intentional. And with that, I invite you to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, get a sense of your seat beneath you and the ground beneath that. Just really sense into that and really allow yourself to settle in. And as you settle in, notice that process for yourself. Maybe there's a lot of energy swirling around in your head space, in your mental space. If there is, just no judgment, without judgment, set the intention to let some of the energy that is flowing around in your head space, in your mental space, to flow down into your body, so that you can remember your body. So often as we move through our days, we get so caught up in our thoughts that we forget to be in our bodies. So just allow some of that energy, just the right amount, to move down into your body. Remember your body. And then from there, begin to focus in on your breath. And experiment with this. See if you can allow your breath to breathe you. See if you can allow your breath to breathe you as you focus in on it. This isn't about effort. It's not about doing. It's not about taking action. This is just simply about being. We're really just taking a few moments right now to be instead of to do or to think. Just continue to see if you can let your breath breathe you. And together we'll take a nice deep breath in and then exhale everything out with a sigh. And then slowly, very, very slowly, open your eyes. And as you open your eyes, allow your eyes to just settle on a detail in your surrounding environment. Maybe it's just a beautiful crack in the ceiling that you never noticed before in your office. Or maybe it's the way light is coming in through the windows and hitting the floor. Just take a moment to take delight in whatever detail you find. Maybe it's flowers in a vase and the colors. You haven't really noticed or really looked at the colors before. A picture you have up in the room. Just take a moment, really notice. Okay. So the reason why I wanted to start off with just this little grounding, being present, being in your body and in your senses a little bit more than your mind, is because the topic of today's call, Rewire Your Negative Thought Patterns, which happens so much when we're so caught up in our heads and in our mental space. So let's dive in. Unless you have superhuman powers, which I'm assuming none of us do, or you're so personally developed that you're like a Buddhist monk that is just like on the hills and you can meditate all the time. And even the Buddhist monks, by the way, aren't immune to this. Chances are that you experience negative thoughts and negative thinking patterns anywhere from sometimes in your life to quite frequently in your life, like on a daily basis or an hourly basis or even more than that. And chances are, same goes for your clients. They're experiencing negative thoughts and negative thinking patterns. It's pretty natural and pretty normal to have negative thoughts. For some people, the negative thought patterns come in before they start to work on a project or work towards a goal, almost like, you know, stopping them in their tracks from moving forward and starting the goal. For others, the negative thought patterns begin once they start making forward movement to create results. Those thoughts can come crashing in almost as a response to the forward movement. And then for others, their negative thought patterns aren't even attached to starting goals or moving through goals. It's just a constant, right? In case you're wondering, for me, it's all three of the above. I'm always working on my negative thought patterns. So as we began to see in our Befriend Your Fear module, a lot of the time, negative thought patterns go hand in hand with fear. Sometimes when you experience fear, the negative thought patterns aren't there, and the fear is more instinctual. It's like the fear is just in your body. And that's why I often craft questions or visualizations related to the body when it comes to fear, like the visualization that I shared with you in last week's recording. But oftentimes, when fear is present, in addition to the fear just being energetic in the body, it can also very much be related to negative thoughts and negative thought patterns. When you're experiencing negative thought patterns, that very persistent voice inside your head wants to tell you that what you're doing isn't enough, or that you're not enough, or that you can't, or that you're doing it the wrong way, or that things are just wrong, or that things are doomed. In other words, your ego really likes to cling on to what you already know, to what you've already told yourself or have been told in the past. And when you tell those types of messages to yourself, well, we all know the results of negative thought patterns, right? We're more prone to give up on our projects, or for some of us, we're more prone to go into overdrive or overwork. Or maybe when we tell those types of messages to ourselves, we're more prone to make decisions that just aren't aligned for us. Or we tend to be in a constant state of anxiety. Even though your negative thoughts are in your head, right, they're really just in your head, they have a massive negative effect on your actions, and on your body. Whether you realize it or not, your everyday thoughts have an effect one way or the other on your success, on your happiness, and on your health. I'm sure most of you have heard the saying that thoughts become things. And that's exactly why, as a coach, it's so important to understand how thoughts work. And that's why we're going to give our focused attention to all of this today. The other thing that I want to point out is that often your negative thoughts can be very similar to your fears themselves. So you might find as we work through our content today that as we do the inner work, some of the things that come up for you might be similar to some of the issues that came up for you when we were looking at Befriend Your Fears, and that's okay. We'll be approaching those issues differently today so that you have more tools in your toolbox to be able to work with for yourself and for your clients. We've got a lot of material to move through. So I'm going to be saving most of our sharing and Q&A for the end of the call today, just to make sure I can get through everything. All right, so let's define what I mean when I say negative thoughts or negative thinking patterns. There are a lot of different ways that we can define negative thoughts. And for the sake of today's training, we're going to explore negative thoughts and negative thought patterns as follows. Thoughts or internal recordings and messages that persistently or semi-persistently run through your mind and hurt you in some way. I'm going to say that again. Negative thoughts and thinking patterns are thoughts or recordings or messages that persistently or semi-persistently run through your mind and hurt you in some way. Now, negative self-talk isn't necessarily, and I'm putting air quotes around this, good or bad. We don't want to look at it as, oh, it's good to have these thoughts and it's bad to have those thoughts. I don't think that's not a helpful perspective here. Instead, what I want you to ask yourself is, are these thoughts helpful to me or are they unhelpful to me? If they're unhelpful, if they stop you from taking action that you want to take, or if they cause anxiousness, or if they initiate self-sabotage, then we want to work through them and eliminate them. Now, the other way to think about negative thinking or thought patterns is as catastrophic thinking. And this is often how they show up. It's like we think the worst. I'll never be able to do this, right? that's an example, or that will never happen, or this is the worst thing ever, right? So I'm going to talk more about catastrophic thinking later in today's class, but I just want you to ask yourself right now, are you prone to catastrophic thinking? In your mind, do you often jump to the worst case possible scenario and kind of stew there for a bit, get lost in that catastrophic thinking? No judgment if you do. It's something for myself that I've had to work on a lot because I'm prone. I really, from my youngest years, I was trained as one of the most catastrophic thinkers I've ever met. It can really happen to the best of us. And it can be overcome, not in a day, it takes practice and time, but it can be overcome. But it's important just for you, just for yourself in general, but also as a coach, for you to just know, are you prone to catastrophic thinking? As a coach, the reason why it's important is because your catastrophic thinking can dance with your client's catastrophic thinking, right? And also, energy follows energy. We want to make sure that you're not leading with that energy. Now, I find that if you are a catastrophic thinker, usually it's a tribal thing. And what I mean by that is catastrophic thinking often runs in families or cultures. Now, here's one of the tricky things about negative thought patterns, and I want you to really understand this for yourself and for your clients. As thinking human beings with minds, and particularly for very smart human beings, which I know everybody in this training is, particularly if you're smart, and also just culture, our current culture in general, where we've placed so much focus on our minds and our intelligence, we tend to think very quickly. So again, particularly if you're a smart person, you tend to think, your thoughts fire off very, very quickly. So why am I bringing this up? Because if you're a quick thinker, which most of us are, and especially in today's culture, then those negative thoughts, right? I can't do it. I'll never be able to do it. She doesn't like me. I'm this. I'm that. Those negative thoughts, they snap off. They fire off really quickly, sometimes so quickly that they're not even in complete sentences, sometimes so quickly that they can cause damage before our higher wisdom even gets to detect what's firing off. And that's one of the things that makes it really hard to even notice negative thoughts, to even be consciously aware of them sometimes. So then what happens is you think the negative thought over and over again, sometimes even without catching it, because it just happens so quickly, and then it just becomes the norm. Eventually you just begin to accept that thought as truth. And eventually you just begin to accept whatever actions you're taking as a result of that negative thought as normal. A lot of negative self-talk, in fact, most negative self-talk, is inaccurate. The thoughts, the statements that you're making to yourself, the statements that your clients are making to themselves, are simply not true. So, for example, let's say that you've sent out a resume for a job and you didn't get called in for the interview. Your negative thought patterning or your negative self-talk might go like this. Oh, great. See, I knew it. I'm not going to get this job, and I'm not going to get any job that really excites me. Never. I may as well just quit now, except that I'm stuck in my current, you know, meaningless career, and nothing's going to change. So that's a little bit of that catastrophic thinking I was talking about earlier. It may not be as exaggerated for you or for some of your clients, but I want to point out what I want to point out more here is the importance of distinguishing between what's true here and what's just a story or inaccurate. Because again, what often happens with negative thoughts is that we make up stories, and then all of a sudden we believe those stories. So what's true here is that you sent out a resume and you didn't get called for that particular job. Everything else is false, right? The whole rest of that stream of thinking is false. It's just a story. Another way that negative thoughts function is that we stew in them. We get stuck repeating them over and over and over, and then they keep us in a holding pattern where it's easy to continue on and on and on to think those negative thoughts instead of brainstorming solutions on how to move through the problem that triggered the negative thought in the first place. Negative thought patterns also often support you in being angry or frustrated, either at yourself or at others, so that you don't move on to actually solving a problem. It's almost like an addiction. It's way easier or way more comfortable, in a way, to be angry or blame yourself or blame someone else than to actually strategize and move out of the problem that you're having. If you're resonating with what I'm saying right now, if you recognize this inside of yourself or your clients, I want to make sure that you write this down, because this happens very often, and it often goes unnoticed. So I'll say it again. Oftentimes, what negative thoughts do is support you in continuing to be angry or frustrated or in blame at yourself or others so that you don't solve the problem or make a shift for yourself. In other words, negative thought patterns can keep some individuals from taking responsibility for themselves and their lives. A really useful book that's related to all of this, it's quite a few years old now, but I still really love it and recommend it, is The New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. One thing that he speaks of is what he calls the pain body. Literally, this pain body that he talks about is your ego. And what your ego essentially is your thoughts. And what Eckhart Tolle says is that your pain body or your thoughts, your ego, are addicted to being in pain. Your pain body will do whatever it takes to remain in the energy of pain. When I read this for the first time, I nearly lost my breath. It resonated so deeply for me, and I recognize this for so many of my clients. Your pain body will do whatever it takes to remain in the energy of pain. In other words, the way I often describe it is that we as human beings have somehow evolved, or devolved, I should say, to be addicted to pain, to gravitate more towards pain than pleasure. And one way that we gravitate more towards pain than pleasure is mainly through our thought patterns. And by the way, it's been scientifically proven that on a cellular level, organisms are more likely to move towards pain than pleasure. So I want you to check this out for yourself. Have you ever gotten stuck in your pain body where it's like you're just stewing in it and in it and in it and in it? And then maybe a friend or someone intimate or with you or a coach will say, you know, it's really not so bad. Look at it this way instead. Or maybe someone close says, you know, I know that things feel sucky, but you could do this to get out of your problem. Or, you know, maybe your coach or mentor offers you a next action step. But literally, you're so addicted to your negative thoughts and to staying in the pain that you even get angry at those people for offering solutions. Right? So it's good just for you to know for yourself, but I also put it out there because if your client is really, like, in their pain body, you don't want to jump to just strategizing and offering solutions. They will fight you tooth and nail, right? So just assess this for yourself. On a scale of 1 to 10, how active is your pain body? 1 is like you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. You don't gravitate towards the pain and the vortex of the negative thoughts ever. And 10 is like, this is with you every day, right? So how active is your pain body? On a scale of 1 to 10, how often do you get angry at others who offer you solutions towards pleasure? And you get angry at them because you're addicted to your pain body. You just want to kind of stay in that painful place instead. And then wherever you are with all of this, who in your family modeled your pain body for you? Who in your family modeled this? Now, oftentimes, there's, excuse my language, but there's real shit that happens in our lives, right? This is part and parcel of living. We don't get called in for the interview. You know, maybe the launch doesn't work out the way we want. And then even worse, like, those are just mild things, right? And then real more stuff happens. People get illnesses. People pass. Traumatic things happen in life, right? We can't change the certain circumstances in our lives. There are a lot of circumstances we can, but there are some circumstances we just can't change. But we can change how we think or perceive those circumstances. So I'm sure most of you on this call have heard the saying from A Course in Miracles that a miracle is a shift in perception. I'm going to say that again, even if you've known this for the last 20 plus years, I want you to write this down. Write it down like it's new for you. A miracle is a shift in perception. In other words, a miracle isn't necessarily when your outside circumstances change. It's when you're able to change your thoughts about the circumstance. When you can change your thoughts about something, you can feel better. You can be in a better mood. You can have a better outlook. You can reduce anxiety. You can maybe even then find solutions. Our circumstances, our client circumstances, aren't always in our control. But how we experience those circumstances and who we are and how we feel as a result of those circumstances are in our control oftentimes. Just take a moment and think about how powerful and profound this idea is. can you think of a time when you've had a shift of perception and it's been miraculous? It's actually changed your experience of a not-so-great situation, and maybe it's even changed the outcome of the situation because you've been able to make that shift in perception. Now, I'm not going to get too scientific here, but I do want to bring science into this, and I want to talk about the brain itself for a moment, because understanding how the brain works is important when it comes to be able to move beyond negative thought patterns. Neuroscientists have really made some amazing discoveries around how your thoughts literally physically shape your mind. I'm going to say that again. Your thoughts actually, on a physical level, shape your brain. In other words, when you think something, anything, when you have a thought, for example, I can't do it, or I'm just not good at this, whatever the thought is, your brain literally creates a physical groove in it, or you can almost think of it as a fast track inside the brain with that particular thought. It's almost as if the thought carries a certain energy, and that energy creates a literal physical groove in your brain. Literally, it's called a neural pathway. A neural pathway is created every time you have a thought. And the more you think any particular thought, the deeper that thought changes the makeup of your brain itself because it grooves it in. You can almost think of like going skiing and just skiing down the same path over and over again. Now, and here's the thing. Our brains are actually very lazy. It's true. Neuroscientists have discovered that our brains are super lazy. So what happens is when there's an idea that has been thought a couple of times and it's created a groove in your brain doesn't really want to go to the trouble of creating a new groove or idea that might be different, right, that might combat that new thought. It doesn't want to think a different thought, even if the new thought would be more useful to you. Your brain is much more prone to go down the already paved neural pathway. So when I say that as a sacred depths coach, it's important to help your clients rewire their negative thought patterns, I literally mean to rewire the neural pathways in the brain. It takes effort. Our brains aren't going to override those old negative thoughts on their own. It's just scientifically proven. So just in case you're not yet convinced of how important all of this is and how incredibly powerful our minds are, I want to just give you two examples out of thousands and thousands that really illustrates how powerful our minds are. So the first is from a study of pain patients and placebos. In 9 double-blind studies comparing placebos to aspirin, the placebo, not the aspirin, the fake pill, proved to be 54% as effective as the actual pain medication. From this, you might expect that placebos would be even less effective when compared to a much stronger painkiller like morphine, but that's not the case. Studies found that placebos were 56% as effective as morphine in relieving pain. Just think about that for a moment. Just a sugar pill was 56% as effective as morphine for extreme pain. it's the power of the mind thought that it was the medicine. Here's another example. In a recent study of a new kind of chemotherapy, 30% of the individuals in the control group, the group that was given the placebo, lost their hair. So 30% of the people that were given nothing but thought they were being given chemotherapy lost their hair. Power of the mind. It's pretty amazing. It shows us that thoughts are so powerful that they can dictate our actions as well as our experience of particular events of our lives in general. They can also dictate how our body functions. To me, this is incredibly powerful information. If you are a nerd like I am and you want to do more research into brain science and neuroplasticity, which basically is the science of how plastic our brains are, how they get molded by our thoughts. One great book is The Brain That Changes Itself by Norman Doidge, D-O-I-D-G-E. It's a great book. All right. Now that we've gotten clear on what negative thought patterns are, how they function in your life, how they work, and how they even work in your brain itself, we can now move on to the process for rewiring the negative thought patterns. But I wanted to just give you that background first so you could understand all the pieces at play here. So the rewire negative thought pattern is a process that has 5 steps in it. The process is similar to befriending your fear. It's not dissimilar from it. So it definitely has similarities, but it's also got some nuances to it. All right, so let's move through the 5 steps. Step 1, identify your negative thought patterns, or help your clients identify the negative thought that's standing in the way of their goal. So as we looked at earlier, oftentimes negative thoughts happen so quickly or so persistently that you don't even notice when you're having a negative thought. You just think it's the truth or that it's the way things always need to be, whatever it is. And that's why it's so important, first and foremost, to help your clients become aware of the negative thought, to identify it for them, help them, you know, identify it together. The process of identifying the negative thoughts allows you to begin to see the difference between the truth and the story that we spoke about earlier, right? If you don't identify the thought, you can't know that it's not true. So just for your own information, this isn't what you would share with clients, but I just want to briefly take you through the psychiatrist David Burns, in his book, The Feeling Good Handbook, talks about 10 common cognitive distortions. In other words, there are 10 distortions that can fuel negative thought patterns or the catastrophic thinking that I was talking about earlier. I'm going to just review some of them with you right now so that when you're working with clients, you'll already have some information and tools for being able to see that there's some negative thoughts there. So here's the first common cognitive distortion he talks about: all or nothing thinking. In other words, all or nothing thinking is evaluating people or situations in extreme black or white terms. For example, since I didn't get this job, then I can't get a job that makes me happy, right? All or nothing thinking. And we're going to specifically, when we get to myth of perfection, we're going to spend a whole call just on all or nothing thinking. There's so much in there. The next cognitive distortion for you to be aware of, David Burns calls mental filtering. Mental filtering is letting a single negative experience negatively color the whole situation. So, for example, you're preparing lunch for some friends and you discover that you forgot to buy an essential ingredient for the lunch. Because of that, all you can think about is how the whole lunch is going to be ruined. So, in other words, you're forgetting about the connection among friends, or how the side dish is going to be good, or just how people are going to have a good time anyway. You're letting a single negative experience negatively color the whole situation, similar to all or nothing thinking. Next one is called disqualifying the positive. That's when you take a neutral or even a positive experience and turn it into a negative one. For example, a friend comes over to visit and tells you that you look great. Your immediate thought is, I don't feel great. She doesn't understand. I've done that one before, by the way. So you're taking something positive and you're making it negative. Somebody tells you that you did a great job, and all you can see is what didn't go well in it. We looked at this in a way when we looked at celebrations, right? And I was sharing about how for some people it's really hard to see their celebrations. Next cognitive distortion I want you to be aware of, jumping to conclusions. That's when you quickly jump to a negative conclusion that isn't justified by the facts of the situation. You assume, for example, you assume that you know why someone else does what he or she does, and you don't bother to check it out. For example, you pass a coworker in the hallway and you say hello. If that coworker doesn't respond, then you think, oh, he must be upset with me. What did I do wrong? But when you check it out, you find that your coworker was preoccupied with their sick child that they've left at home, and that's why they didn't say hello back, right? It's almost like mind reading, jumping to negative conclusions. It's similar to another distortion that Burns calls fortune telling. In fortune telling, you just quote unquote know that things are going to turn out badly. For example, if you wake up with a headache, then you're positive that your whole day is going to be ruined. You're fortune telling. The next common cognitive distortion is emotional reasoning. It's when you take your emotions as evidence for the truth. If you feel that something is right, then it must be true. Now, I want to point out that this is really different than tapping into your inner wisdom, right? When we tap into our inner wisdom, what we feel is often true. That's something else. This is when the negative thought is distorting you. So an example of this is, I feel useless, therefore I am useless. It's not the same thing. That's emotional reasoning. Next cognitive distortion is labeling. That's when you identify a mistake or a negative quality and then describe an entire situation in terms of that quality. So, for example, instead of seeing yourself as an individual who's working through your difficulties in balancing all of the things in your life, you might find yourself saying, I'm defective, I can't get it together, right? You're labeling yourself. And then the last cognitive distortion I want to share with you today, David Burns calls personalization. Personalization is when you take responsibility for a negative event, even when you know that the circumstances were beyond your control. For example, you and your partner are going to go to eat at a restaurant, but the service is poor or the food isn't good. And you find yourself feeling responsible for making a bad choice. You're the one that chose the restaurant, And so you find yourself feeling responsible for ruining the evening. You're taking responsibility for a negative event. Personalization, it's called. So as you take in this list of cognitive distortions, just take a moment and be honest with yourself, which are the ones that you actively engage in. You might even want to star or circle the ones that, you know, you personally really resonate with. So again, I'm sharing these cognitive distortions not for you to share them with your clients, but so that when you are engaged in your deep listening skills, you can see if your client is engaging in one of these. It'll help you help them begin to identify that there's some negative thoughts happening and to begin to identify what those negative thoughts actually are. So here's what I want you to do next. I want you to now just spend a minute or two making a list of your most common negative thoughts. Again, we wouldn't be doing this with a client, right? You'd be having a conversation about whatever is happening, and you'd spot negative thoughts, or you'll create awareness about it. But because I want to take you through this five-step process, we've got to find some of your negative thoughts, right? So without having that coaching conversation. So I just want you to spend a minute right now, make a list of your most common current negative thoughts, whatever comes to mind right now. Maybe it's a list of your top 2, 3, 4, like real doozies. What would they be? Anything having to do with your health, your work, your relationship, your family, your ability, your situation. And I'd love to hear, I'm not going to comment on any of the thoughts, but just so that we can hear examples of some of the negative thoughts, I'd love to hear from a few of you, like, what's your top negative thought? And just take a moment right now, star, circle, underline, maybe the top negative thought that's really getting in your way in your life right now. Who'd like to share? That would be really helpful to hear. Or if you're not coming up with something, let me know too. What have you guys got? Carolyn. I think this is Carolyn.
Yeah, it's Carolyn.
Hi.
Hey there. The first one that popped up was, I assume I did something wrong.
Yeah. Good. And does that show up in lots of different areas of your life?
Yeah, a lot. Lots of different areas. Yep. There's a text that shows up or an email talking, what did I do wrong? It's the first thought that goes to my mind.
Yeah, what have I done wrong? I've done it wrong again. I'm just wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. Let's hear, I'd love to hear one or two others. What else is coming up for you? Star two. Dana.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
So I was just thinking in realms of, like, my work and putting it out there, and the fortune-telling and jumping to conclusions jumps up. Like, if I don't know for sure that someone is like, oh, that was amazing, you know, if I don't get that feedback, I just, like, kind of jump to the conclusions that, like, it wasn't beneficial or helpful, a session.
Yeah, I'm not helping people. My work isn't beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real common one. But thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Jamie.
Did you say Jamie?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Okay, hi, everybody. My work is in climate change, so my big negative that comes to mind is, you know, where humans are greedy, capitalism is fatal, we're racing to our own extinction, and I'm ineffectual to do anything about it. So I have to work really hard to keep all those thoughts at bay as being false or, you know, potentially false. At least we can't
right.
know for sure.
Right, partially false.
Yeah, and
not
stay
all
in
okay.
stay in something effective. But that's where I get stuck. You know, it just came right to mind when you asked.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad that you're bringing this one up because it's such a great example of a tricky one where it's like there is some truth, right, to those thoughts, but it's not all true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where we can get caught. Good. Thank you. Here are a couple of more. These are really good as an example. Justine.
Hello.
Hi.
So mine is that it's not going to come out well, or it's not going to be good enough.
Yeah. Another really a common one. You're not alone in that. It's just not going to be good enough. I'm just not good enough. It's not going to come out well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Tina.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have two. They're pretty similar, but this one's been showing up for me a lot. Since it hasn't changed fully, it must not be working.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't
right?
changed fully, so it's not working.
Yes. Yeah. And I keep seeing that over and over again. And then the second one that I think kind of is buddy to that, if it's a slow process, will it ever happen the way I want it to happen?
Yeah. Yes. Good. These are all great. And, you know, for each person, by the way, whatever your common negative thoughts are, there's a really good chance that these are some of the negative thoughts that your client, your ideal client, experiences often, right? Because they're a version of you. Side note, great to know for marketing, right? Because we want to, you know, get into people's heads when we market, but also obviously so important to know for our coaching. Okay, great. So let's continue with this. So when you're with a client and you're working the rewire, your negative thoughts process, and you have an inkling that there's some negative thoughts at play in what they're sharing with you, whatever the situation is, for step one, we're still in step one here, which is identify your negative thoughts. Here are some questions that you can ask them. One is, what's the belief that's holding you back right now? Or what's the belief underneath the fear that you're experiencing right now, right? You might be looking at their fear. Sometimes there's a belief underneath the fear. Here's another good question that can help identify the negative thought. What's the story that you're telling yourself right now about the situation? What's the story you're telling yourself right now about the situation or about your situation? Or another one is, what's the thought that's stopping you in your tracks right now? So, you know, there may need, in some cases, just one of those questions is going to do it, and you'll identify the thought. In other cases, it's going to take a little bit more of a discussion, right? A couple of questions and creating awareness. Now, once it's been identified, part of identifying it is not just identifying the thought, but identifying it as a negative thought pattern, right? So once you've identified it, as the coach, you want to create awareness and point out to your client that it's a thought that's not helpful for them. And you may want to create awareness that it's a thought that is persistently standing in their way. It's a negative thought pattern. From there, you can move on to step two, which is about exploring the negative thought pattern. So again, similar to befriend your fear, you know, once you identify the fear, same here, once you identify the thought, you want to explore it, you want to understand it, you want to help your client create more awareness about it and to gain insight into it. Now, there are a couple of different ways that you can move through step two and help your client gain awareness about their negative thoughts. The first is through a visualization. So if your clients are open to visualization, it's often a really wonderful way to do it. Also because it can, you know, it takes them a little bit out of their minds and all that mental. The visualization can sometimes finally outsmart the actual thought. So I'm going to lead you through a visualization that you can use, and I'll also share the visualization in a resource sheet for you. But so what I want you to do is just pick your top negative thought that has come up so far in our call today and work with that one. Okay, so that's the thought you'll be working with. So I invite you to take a moment and get centered and close your eyes and move back into that grounded feeling from the beginning of our call, from our little grounding at the beginning of our call. As you inhale and exhale, give yourself permission to go inwards. As you inhale and exhale, give yourself permission to journey into yourself. Really just connect inwards, be with yourself. And I want to invite you, whatever that top negative thought is, whatever the negative thought that you're going to be working with right now, allow that thought to come up for you in a visual way. Allow it to come up as a human or an animal. And what is that thought if it were to be in a human or animal form? It might look like a young boy with a dunce cap on him, or a really unattractive version of yourself, or a mangy dog. Really see this thought in human or animal form. Breathe with it and connect with it. Maybe you even start breathing in sync as you see this negative thought in front of you. Really see it. Take in all the details. And as you connect with the negative thought in front of you, ask it, how long has it been with you? And if it's a relatively new thought, it might be related to an even older thought. May or may not, but just ask it. If it happens to be new, is it a pattern of an older thought? And then ask it where it comes from. In other words, I want you to ask it who its role model is. Whom or what did this thought model itself on? And just inhale and exhale and connect even more deeply with this thought. And the next question is, how does this thought function in your life? How does it express itself? What are the actions that you take because of this thought? What are the feelings that you feel because of this thought? How does this thought express itself and impact your life? Just take it in and continue to connect deeply with your negative thought. And ask it, what is it protecting you from? What is it that it really wants for you, and what is it protecting you from? And then inhale and exhale. And if there's anything else that you want to ask this thought, you can ask it right now. You can ask it any specific question that you have for it. Or you might simply want to say, is there anything else that you'd like for me to know? And then you can thank the thought for bringing itself to you and making itself so present today and bringing you wisdom. And then just let it go. Let it disappear for now. Take a couple of deep breaths. And after your second breath, you can allow your eyes to open. And I'll give you a moment. Just jot down anything from the visualization that you want to remember or make note of. Now, when you're in step two of the process, exploring the negative thought, if you're going to do it with use visualization with a client, obviously you'll do it a little bit differently than how I just did it with you, because it'll be a one-on-one. You can really conduct the visualization as a dialogue. You know, your client can answer the questions out loud so that you can hear what the answers are, and then that might shift or dictate what you ask next. You know, you can really shape that journey and personalize that journey and almost coach her as she's in the visualization and in the dialogue. I'll demonstrate that either with this process or the Befriend Your Fear process next week's call when we have our practicum. But if your client isn't a visualization person, or you just feel like it's not going to land for them, you don't have to do step two through visualization. You can explore their negative thoughts simply by asking questions. So first of all, you can just ask any or all of the questions that I asked in the visualization, but just ask it to your client, right? How old is this thought? How long has it been with you? Who in your life have you modeled it on, right? So you can just ask the client directly. And some other questions you might want to ask as you're exploring, who would you be betraying if you were to think differently here? That can oftentimes open up something big. Who would you be betraying? Or who would you need to forgive if you were to change pattern here? Another good question when you explore is, how does the negative thought protect you from taking action or responsibility? How does this negative thought protect you from taking action or responsibility? And then another powerful question, how invested are you in continuing to believe this thought? Or why are you so invested in continuing to believe this thought. So I really want to encourage you this week to continue to explore your negative thoughts. And it's oftentimes really helpful to encourage it for clients as well. You'll do an initial exploration on the call together, but it's oftentimes most effective if you can follow it up with homework so that they can continue the exploration and continue to be, you know, with the thought. It's almost like befriending the negative thought in a way. So a really nice way to do this is, first of all, you can draw the negative thought. It doesn't have to be how it showed up in human or animal form in the visualization. You can just do like free form drawing, color, you know, abstract, whatever it is, but draw the negative thought. It could be literal or abstract. But again, because thoughts are firing off all the time so quickly, we want to separate them out a little bit, right? We want to be able to see them for what they really are. So make a drawing or a series of drawings of what it means to feel like I'm not enough or I just can't do it, whatever it is, draw it. Or you can continue the dialogue through journaling. You can continue the conversation that we started in the visualization today. Have other conversations, literally write it out. Ask a question of the negative thought and then answer from the voice of the negative thought. Really get to know it well. The more that you get to know your negative thoughts, the easier it's going to be to get to step 3, 4, and 5 of the rewiring your negative thoughts process. So that moves us to step number 3, which is it true? Step number 3 is to help your client determine or see if their thought is actually true. So once you've identified the thought and once you've explored it, then we come to this really powerful moment where your client or you can actually see or decide to see that it's not necessarily true, that what they are taking for truth as they move through their day and the thoughts fire off so quickly all the time, what they just accept as true may not actually be true. So step number 3 is creating awareness around this. And some questions, you know, you might just want to straight up create awareness, right? Talk about the difference between truth and story and help them really see that. You may want to ask some questions. Is it possible that this thought isn't exactly true? How do you know that it's not true or it's not all true? What are the parts of this that are true and what are the parts that are actually just stories that you've made up? It can be for some clients so powerful just to see that what they're telling themselves is not actually true. Once you've helped your client see that the thoughts aren't actually true, then you can move on to step 4. It's hard to move on to step 4 if they can't see that they aren't actually true or, you know, not partially true. Step number 4 is, what's the higher wisdom? So in order to rewire an old thought, right, remember back to the brain and the grooves in the brain, in order to create that new neural pathway, you need to have a new thought available. Again, it's hard to have a new thought available if the client still believes that the old thought is true, right? They're not going to buy into it. They don't need to 100% believe that it's not true, but you want to poke holes, right? And then move on to step 4. what's the higher wisdom? What's the new thought? So write down again that top negative thought that you've been working with on this call. Anything from I'm not smart enough, I'll never be able to be successful, nobody wants to buy my service, you know, whatever it is. And now I'd like for you to create a new thought, a thought that you would like to have around whatever the topic is, right? One that you can believe in. One that it doesn't feel fantastical and like such a stretch that you're just not going to be into it. But what is the thought that you actually want to have in the situation? Sometimes it can be really helpful if a client is connecting into the higher wisdom and the new thought to bring them out of their mental level of learning and processing and into either the spirit or the body or the heart level of learning and processing. So some questions you could ask to help them with that would be, you know, if there's somebody, for example, that believes in spirit, you could say, what would spirit want you to believe here? What would spirit have you know here? Or you can just replace spirit with higher wisdom or nature or Buddha, highest truth, right? Any of those. If your client is someone who really responds well to body-centric type things, then you can have them close their eyes, really connect in with their body, and then bring in spirit or connect in with their higher power, you know, whatever, or connect in with their heart too, right? And what's the wisdom in your heart about this thought? What does your heart want you to know about this thought? Right? So any of those pieces. And then you know, once they've identified the higher wisdom, this is still part of step four, sometimes I like to just ask some follow-up questions so that they're really invested in the new thought and the new wisdom. So I might ask a question like, how does this new thought feel? How does it feel when you take it into your body? Sometimes I might ask, what would be different in your life if you believed this thought fully in your mind, in your body, in your heart, in your soul? What would be different in your life? Or another great question is, who would you be if you were able to fully step into this thought? Or another way of asking that question is, who would you be if you stopped clinging on to the old thought? And then from there you can say, what would that new person believe, right? And get them to their higher wisdom that way. And there's one more step, and then I promise I'll open up for reflections and questions. So once you've done that, you've gotten to the new thought, the higher wisdom, and there's some investment on your client's part in wanting to believe this new thought, wanting to do some work around this new thought, then step five is create the new neural pathway. Create the new neural pathway through thinking the new thought and taking new action. So up until step four, we're in, remember the difference between breakthrough and transformation? Breakthrough is all new awarenesses. Transformation is the persistent and consistent work. Step one through four is breakthrough mode. Step five is transformation and persistence and consistent mode. step five, create the new neural pathway through thinking the new thoughts and taking the new actions, that's really about practicing the new thought, practicing the higher wisdom. Practicing the new thought literally enables you to create the new groove in your brain, the one that holds the positive thought. Remember, your brains are lazy. So the more that you can groove the new thought, then the more it's going to become automatic for you to just quickly think the new thought instead of thinking that old negative thought. So you want to be grooving the positive thoughts. Thoughts lead to things. The more you groove the positive thoughts, the more you can take the positive actions. So there are a number of different ways that you or your clients can practice the new thoughts in order to groove the new neural pathways. One, to visualize the new thought, right? To really think about the new thought, to remind yourself of it, to see yourself feeling the new thought, to breathe the new thought in. Or you can journal about the new thought every day, right? You can write that higher wisdom at the top of the page and then just journal on it. Do that every day for a couple of weeks. Might take more than a couple of weeks. You'll see changes even just from doing it for four times, right? Repeat the new thought, the higher wisdom, like a mantra. Breathe it into every nook and cranny. All of that. Right? So it's about repetition. It's about coming back to it, but not just in your mind. Mantra stuff doesn't work if you're just like, I'm good enough, right? Like look in the mirror and you're like, I'm good enough. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you say it. It's harder to make that work. But if you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, I am good enough, and I know that I'm good enough because yesterday I had this really great client session, and I feel, right, like whatever it is, and then you breathe it in, and you feel it in your body, and then maybe the next day you journal on it, right? Without being unrealistic, a lot of times, and this is one of the problems with mantras, I have a client be like, oh, I'm just repeating the mantra of, like, I don't know, this launch is going to be awesome, or I'm not going to, you know, be anxious anymore, you know, whatever it is they tell me. And I'm like, but you're not, that's not going to work because there's also, like, the things that aren't working, right? So even though, the launch didn't work so far, and even though I probably have to change the marketing copy, I know that I can change it, and things will start to move. We'll get more into that in Myth of Perfection, but I hope that makes sense for now. We don't want to discount the negative if it is true, right? Like if Jamie were to just be like, everybody's great and the planet's going to be okay and yay and I can do this, like that's not realistic. She's never going to groove that neural pathway in because it's simply not true, right? She has to find that place of truth, like the realistic truth there, or else it's not going to work. So, again, it's about the persistence. Now, there's another component to step five. It's not just about practicing the new thought. The new thought usually doesn't work, even in the ways that I'm sharing with you, unless it's coupled with taking new actions. Taking action is the outer component of practicing the new thought. So when you take action, an action that is a practice of the new thought, then what happens is you begin to prove that the new thought can be true, and then that neural pathway gets deeper. So, for example, if the old thought was my newsletter is never going to be successful, and the new thought is I'm willing to believe that I can have an informative and well-read newspaper, right, and you're working with that, you're practicing that new thought, then what's the baby action step that you could take right away? If you totally believed that new thought, what's the action that you would be taking? Maybe you would spend a little more time writing a kick-ass newsletter. Or maybe you would get more clear on what your community wants to be hearing about, right? Or whatever it is. So not only do you want to help your clients practice the new belief, you want to help them to start to take baby actions that will support the new belief. And one other thing about the practicing the new belief, so if you noticed in the example I just gave with the newsletter, you know, the old one is my newsletter will never be successful. I didn't say the new thought is my newsletter is totally successful, right? Again, this goes back to the realistic thing. Like for some people, that's going to be great. My newsletter is totally successful. But for other people, for other clients, they're not going to be able to go there yet. You need a little sub-step. So I'm willing to believe, right? I'm willing to believe that I can have a well-read newsletter. That might be where they need to go next. That's fine. That's big progress. Okay, a couple other pieces that I want to share, and then I'll open up for thoughts and questions. One is, and this is really important, the way that the rewire your negative thought process is going to work best is if your client is also taking care of her physical body. I shouldn't even say physical body, is also taking care of herself. The most optimal conditions in which to reshape your brain and rewire your negative thought patterns is when your container is strong. And when I say container, I'm not talking about coaching container in this case. I'm talking about the container of your body and your soul, right? So I'm sure you've noticed for yourself, this is for sure the case with me. If I'm really, really tired and exhausted, or if I'm hungry, if my blood sugar is off balance, or if I haven't been giving myself enough soul space, just time and space just for me, my negative thoughts can be out of control. They're so much more easily triggered when I'm not taking good care of my body and soul. But when I'm taking really good care of my body and soul, it's so much easier for me to control the thoughts. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I'll just tell you my theory on this. It goes back to the brain, right? Because the brain is lazy and it just goes into automatic with the old negative thoughts, if your body and soul aren't healthy, it's harder to override the laziness, right? It's hard to direct the new thoughts. But when you're taking care of yourself, you have that energy and that wherewithal to direct the new thoughts. All right, I know we only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to pause here. You've got some homework. There's a resource sheet and a homework sheet. So the resource sheet just goes through the five steps. The homework sheet is a tracking sheet, a great way to explore the negative thought patterns, and I highly recommend this, is to take a week and track the negative thought or all of your negative thoughts. So I have a tracker there for you. It's like, you know, what time, what exactly was the thought? Is there anything that triggered it? I know sometimes when I talk to my mother, some things can get triggered, right? Whatever it is. And the reason why this is valuable is, number one, it just creates more awareness. The more awareness we have, the better position we're in to make choices about what's true and what's not true, and then to regroove, right? But the other reason why it's powerful to do this is, here's what you'll see will happen if you really stick with this for a little bit. because the thoughts fire off so quickly, we're not aware of them as they happen. As we start to track them, maybe, you know, we're not going to notice it at the moment, but the end of every day, okay, when did this thought come up? And then we start to notice it. After we do that for a few days, we'll notice it as it comes up in the moment. And then we can do something about it right there and then. So that's your homework. I'd love, in our last couple minutes left, I'd love to hear just takeaways, any things that you're seeing and learning for yourself, and any questions that you have for me. Star two. Justine.
Okay. The visualization you did with this was like super powerful for me. At first it wasn't, and then all of a sudden I started crying. It was like, whoa, what's that? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it went really far back to, you know, me, like my birth, like me being born. And so anyway, my question is, I'd love if you could help give me an example of a new action,
yeah,
that I could take from the new thought that I have. So my old thought is it's not going to come out well, or not going to be good enough. My new thought is it's going to be imperfect, and it's good enough and has value.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. So what is one thing that you've been holding yourself back from doing because of the old thought?
Writing my book.
What would the next baby step be of writing your book if you were willing to do it imperfectly and know that the imperfect is going to get you to where you need to go?
Well, one thing is I'm looking at investing in a program like support for writing the book.
Yep.
And that's part of the need to do it right. but the other one is just start writing.
Uh-huh.
You know, so those just are like 10 minutes, you know, you said baby steps. So like, okay, for 10 minutes, I'm just going to write.
Yeah. So what I would say is step two is probably more baby than step one. I feel like you probably have to track the thought a little bit more, dialogue with it more before, right? Because
yeah,
that is kind of, you know, if there's investment there. But do it. Track it. Work with it. See if you can get to that place. And then the other action is, I love that, start writing 10 minutes a day, imperfectly, like the worst writing ever. Who cares? Right?
Yeah.
I know you care. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's that. By the way, this is the other piece I just wanted to mention about negative thought patterns is humor, right? If we can bring humor to it, it can help too with our clients. So how would it feel 10 minutes a day to just do that? Not forever. Let's just say for this next week.
Yeah. Yeah. It would actually feel really good just to be in action.
Yeah. Awesome. Have Tina help hold you accountable with that. You know, she's your coaching partner,
mm-hmm.
So that's something you can bring into the coaching. How does that feel?
Good. Yeah.
Awesome. Yay. I can't wait to see how it evolved.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great. Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited about the idea of the mantra. When you said mantra, I'd written down positive thoughts before, but the idea of stating it, even though I feel that I will not succeed in my business, I can see my progress and just name anything that I've done. Like I would say, mm-hmm. I just wrote a quick elevator speech that I've been trying to do for years and I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And I got good feedback from it. And I think if I write these things out as I've done them, I'll be able to see and feel so much more.
Yes. Yeah. It is such a great tool, and I've used that one a lot. I'm going to go even into more detail because it relates so much to black and white thinking. We'll get there with mm-hmm. myth of perfection. But, yeah, mm-hmm. want to just recognize, yeah, this is what I believe or this is how it's been, but this is also true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Go from that place. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good. All right. And Adina.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thanks. I so appreciate this whole conversation, and this is something I've been doing so much work around for, you know, the last decade, unraveling negative thought patterns. And I wanted, first of all, to thank you for the aspect of like taking care of the container, and how critical that is, and how even when we may think that we have unraveled some of these thought patterns, when we get overtired or over stretched thin, that they can, you know, come back with real power. And I just actually had that happen this weekend. I did a long, very, very challenging bike race, and then the next day was part of an event that was sort of a post-event panel that I had to speak in front of a group, and sort of said some things that I felt like didn't land well, and those old grooves of old thought patterns just came back with such force. And so I guess I just wanted to ask about, you know, that phenomenon, like when the thoughts and the old grooves of those neural pathways are really divorced from the belief, when you've done the work to undo the beliefs behind the thoughts, but just the old sort of the narrative of the thoughts, you know, comes back with full force, and sort of how to, you know, if you've had that experience working with clients,
yeah.
and how you've worked with it.
Yeah, 100%. So first, just like in terms of a visual, so I used to be a skier. So if we go back to that ski.
Yeah.
Visual, it's right, like there's like the old, right? And then you've worked and you've created that new pathway down the hill, and your brain has gotten used to that new pathway, the more positive thoughts, you know, all of that. But the old neural pathway is still there. Like some snow might have covered it up, right?
Right.
And, but it's still there. And so what can happen is if we are in exhaustion or if we're in a trigger, right, like possibly like a panel, if we're having, you know, and presenting ourselves, we get to the top of the mountain. And even though for a while we've been going down that new pathway, and definitely it's deeper grooves, it's almost like we're the skier, but almost like we don't have the choice anymore, and we just go down that old pathway, right?
Right.
It's less grooved, but we still go down it. And so what we want to do is when we know what our triggers are, like being tired or speaking in public, like, you know, I know for me, any kind of performance that I, you know, like big whatever, we want to make sure that we are fully aware before we start going down the mountain, right? We're at the top of the mountain. Ah, this is a trigger situation for me. I just got home from being a week with my mother, or I'm about to lead a retreat, or I'm exhausted. Let me come back to the old practices. Let me strengthen the container. Let me practice that new thought that I know is true.
Right.
And that will help. You may not totally land on the new tracks, but you'll probably land somewhere in between the old and new tracks and just keep on working on them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful. And also the visualization. I had in the visualization the image of like a panther, like a black panther kind of like rearing up with this old thought
mm-hmm.
pattern. And then as, you know, I went through the practice, it sort of, you know, calm down and became gentle, and was able to, like, you know, sort of embrace it. And so that was a really beautiful practice. Thank you.
That's awesome. I would work with the Panther. Like I would, yeah. That to me, I just have this sense that that's can actually may end up turning into a power symbol for you.
Yeah.
And that there's more of a relationship to be created there. So
yeah, and this has been such a like tough nut to crack, like this particular, you know, thought pattern. I mean, just literally for the last decade, it's like, okay, here it is again. So it just felt really so timely that this came up like today, this week. So thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Thanks for the extra time.
Of course. You're so welcome. All right. Oh, Tina, I see your hand is up. I know people have had to leave, but I have a few minutes, so I'm going to take her question or comment. Tina, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I'll make it quick. Two things that showed up for me, and I wanted to ask you about creating, where is it, the action. Instead of also, like, maybe if I'm not, like, a big journaler, I'm a big dancer, so, like, I was thinking of maybe writing down my mantras, typing them out, and, like, having that in my mind while I dance. So, like, I feel like that's how I integrate my physical body. What do you think about that?
I like it. So I'll tell you, what I'm about to say may not be truth. I have, like, little theories. So I love that, and I think you should do that because that's what you resonate with.
Yeah.
And because thoughts, negative thought patterns are in the brain, sometimes it takes mental activities to really support the rewiring. So if you can add writing with that or after, I just have a feeling that will be, I think the dancing will be so potent because it's in your body and you know, how you, all of that. But I think mental activity is important when you're in the rewiring process.
Wiring. Exactly. That's why I was asking. Okay. So I love that idea. So just maybe start with a little quick journaling and then do the movements or like the yoga or whatever that is.
Yes. Me. Yeah. And then if it's okay, like even just quick journal afterwards on how you feel.
Oh, I really like that. That's really awesome. Thank you so much. This has really been helpful. I really appreciate it.
So happy. Good. Yay. All right, everyone, thanks so much for today. I'm thinking about all of you. I know a lot of you are going to be on our call tomorrow, special call tomorrow, where I'm going to be sharing lots of different ways we can continue working together. I can't wait for that. So I'll speak with all of you soon. Much love to you. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.